Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Everybody eats. Everybody eats.
Wow, that is a banger, isn't it? Everybody eats. That is not what Bradley Beal was referencing when he said everybody eats, not once but twice. That was actually a song from Sesame Street, I think from the 1970s, that I found on a late night YouTube rabbit hole, that which I'm sure everyone out there with access to the internet can relate to. You're listening to the Wizards Tip Off Podcast, presented by Greenberg and Betterman Personal Injury Lawyers. I'm your host, Chase Hughes, and on today's episode I have Steve Buckhantz, Mr. Dagger himself. He's going to break down everything involving the Wizards right now as they approach the trade deadline, as they try to move past this everybody eats drama. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about trade rumors, how they've played without John Wall, where they stand in the Eastern Conference, and something I was pretty excited to ask him about, the career of Caron Butler, because Caron Butler, of course, retired from the NBA. He was my favorite player in the NBA when he was on the Wizards. Remember, he wore number 3. He was a two-time All-Star playing alongside Gilbert Arenas and Antoine Jameson. Did it all. Was Tough Juice. That was his nickname. Had the straws. Was by all accounts a great guy, and obviously had a great backstory if you've ever heard it. Went through some real troubles when he was a teenager. Run-ins with the law. Looked like his life was destined to be a life of crime. And he moved past that and ended up having a long and successful NBA career. So Caron Butler is one of the best players in Wizards history, certainly, and one of the best players probably in Wizards Bullets franchise history. So Steve Buckhantz obviously has great insight about that, having called all those games when Caron Butler was in D.C. Before I bring on Buck, I want to address one trade rumor that came out today, or a few trade rumors that have come out over the last few days. First of all, Lou Williams locked up 3-year contract extension with the L.A. Clippers. That was reported by Yahoo Sports. I think that could affect the Wizards indirectly because they are and have been in the market for a backup wing scorer, and Lou Williams was the top dog on the market. It was a buyer's market, really, for backup shooting guards. If you look at Tyreek Evans, Lou Williams, Marco Bellinelli, Rodney Hood of the Utah Jazz, and the Wizards seemed poised to capitalize on that. Maybe the price would drop for one of these guys, but Lou Williams being taken off the market shifts that a little bit towards the sellers, I think. But I don't think it changes all that much for the Wizards. I don't expect them to make a major move. I know they've been linked by ESPN to DeAndre Jordan. It doesn't seem like that's realistic given what the Wizards could give up at this point, and seeing some of the offers that the Clippers have turned down, including one from the Cavaliers. It was something like a first-round pick and Tristan Thompson, and I think J.R. Smith as well. So that's a pretty hefty offer that the Wizards would have to compete with if they want to pry away DeAndre Jordan. Of course, there's the Marcin Gortat rumor out there, and we got a bunch of questions about that on Twitter, about what the Wizards will do if they get rid of Gortat. O's and Bo's on Twitter said, if the Wizards do trade Gortat, who do you think they will replace him with at center? I think in the short term, if they traded him before the deadline, Jan Mahinmi would become the center, but depending on what they got back, it probably wouldn't be some younger, better center. It would probably be a draft pick or a guy who plays a different position. I think you'd see them play a lot more small ball. You know, I think ideally they'd get another wing so that they can roll with Otto Porter and Kelly Oubre on the court at the same time. And Markieff Morris would be that center. And then from there, you wouldn't have very much depth behind Kelly Oubre. You all of a sudden wouldn't have a backup small forward if you ran with that lineup. So getting a backup wing could help them play that lineup more often. So I think Jan Mahinmi and a small ball lineup would be the answer behind him. Kelly, let's see, what does this handle say on Twitter? Kelly Goat Bray. That's a great Twitter handle. They said if the Wizards move Gortat, what centers do you think they look at to replace him? I think you'd have to look at this offseason. DeAndre Jordan could be a free agent. Maybe it ends up being DeAndre Jordan. Maybe they look in the draft. But they don't really have an option on their roster besides Yamihimi. So I think Yamihimi, they're paying him starter money. I think that's the obvious short-term replacement. Long-term, it's a little bit difficult to project. From what I hear from the people I talk to, the Wizards aren't likely to make a significant move before this trade deadline because they don't want to disrupt team chemistry, and they understand that their assets right now for a trade would be much more valuable this offseason. And one guy to keep in mind is Otto Porter. Otto Porter right now has a no-trade clause because it's the first year of a deal he signed through restricted free agency. So technically this summer, if they wanted to, they could trade him without that no-trade clause to consider. So that's something to keep in mind. Not that they want to trade Otto Porter, but at some point they got to make a decision before they let a Kelly Oubre or somebody like that leave in free agency. Is they got to decide who's going to be better long-term. Who would they rather have, Kelly Oubre or Otto Porter, because they're not going to be able to afford both. I think if you're rooting for the Wizards to make a big move, and I could certainly make the argument, as I have in the past, that they should make a big move because the East isn't going to be wide open forever. And at some point, you got to do something aggressive like other teams have, like the Boston Celtics did, like the Oklahoma City Thunder did. At some point, you got to swing for the fences. They haven't really swung for the fences with the trade or in free agency. At some point, they got to do that. I think this offseason is going to be the right time to do it based on how their contracts and their assets are lining up. Okay, we'll get to my conversation with Steve Buckhantz right after a word from our sponsors. Now we welcome in Steve Buckhantz, the play-by-play voice of the Washington Wizards on NBC Sports Washington. And Buck, obviously there are a lot of topics pertaining to the Wizards right now. It's not a boring time for them, but let's begin with how well they've played over these last six games since John Wall got injured. Of course, there's a lot of kind of drama surrounding this team, but if you look at what's happened on the court, you have to be very encouraged by these last six games, don't you?
Yeah, you definitely do, Chase. I mean, you know, it's kind of like the Eagles. When Carson Wentz went down, everybody thought they were done. But what it shows you is that, and it's not just in Washington or it's not just in Philadelphia with the Eagles, it's a lot of teams who lose one of their best players, if not their best player, and then other guys step up. I mean, that's the name of the game. It sounds a little cliched, but it's true. Other guys have to step up. And look, we're talking about professional athletes here, too. This isn't high school or Pop Warner or even college. We're talking about pros who are all good enough to play. So when a guy goes down who has a major impact on the team, the other guys have to rally around and step up. And it speaks to a little bit to the depth of the Wizards squad, which we didn't think was all that deep, but certainly better than last year. And it also speaks to each individual player for making a commitment, you know, answering the challenge that Scott Brooks made for them to step up and be good and play good. And it has been a pleasant surprise to see them share the basketball the way they have to play good defense and just come up with some wins over some really good teams. So I'm encouraged by that. And I think it puts to rest a little bit the notion that, you know, you're a better team with John Wall. I mean, that's crazy. You can play better and you can be a good team without your best player. Does that make you a better team? I don't think so. So we can discuss that further, but I'm encouraged by what I've seen. They've played great.
Yeah, I think right now you're seeing they're a better team without an unhealthy John Wall. The guy was banged up, and he was trying to guard Russell Westbrook. And obviously, a healthy point guard is going to be better than a guy who's hobbled with a knee injury. But you mentioned the depth of the roster. Can you imagine this happening in years past, especially when John Wall goes out? All the talk that we've done over these past few years about the lack of depth behind him at the point guard position, I think this kind of shows how far this roster around John Wall has come, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, look, Thomas Satoransky's not John Wall. He doesn't play like John Wall. He plays a different game. He's obviously 6'7". John's big, too, but Sato's 6'7", and he's a big guy. And he uses his body well to protect the ball and get up and down the court, and he makes good decisions. And he's learning. He's getting better. His outside shooting will come around. It's getting better. But he's been good. And lately, the last few games, Jody Meeks has been good, although you know, he struggled during the season this year. And then the other guys coming off the bench, clearly, obviously, Kelly Oubre Jr. is just has tremendous upside. We've been talking about that for 2 years now. And Mike Scott has been fabulous off the bench, and he's done well. And Jan Mahinmi the last few games. So all of these guys are stepping up when they need to. You know, let's see if they can keep it going. You obviously aren't going to get John back, and even when you do, you know, it's going to take him a while to get going. But you look at, but you made the point about him not being healthy. I mean, it's so true, and people don't realize that. Sometimes they don't even see it or they don't understand it. But look at Markieff Morris. That's an even better example. You know, he's starting to play well better, and it's taken him almost this long. You don't remember or people forget that he had hernia surgery in the offseason, missed the beginning of the season. You don't come back from that right away. It took him a long time to get his shooting back. It took him a long time to get his conditioning back. And he's just starting to get to be 100%. Same thing with Mahinmi with his knees. They bothered him, and now he's starting to play better because he feels healthy. So health is a key to everything. It's going to take John a while, even when he comes back, to get going. But when he wasn't 100%, he's not the same John Wall.
Obviously, the NBA trade deadline is coming up tomorrow on Thursday. How do you evaluate this team as they approach the deadline? Because as we talk about this depth, I think, you know, it's probably different in years past. I think if they didn't make a move, there would probably be a lot more people saying, okay, that makes sense. They do have enough right now to compete.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that go into these trades and whatever. First thing is you don't want to spend or give away more than you're getting. And you don't even want to make a neutral move, in my opinion, okay? I mean, people are talking about Marchand or whomever. You don't get rid of somebody just to get rid of them or just to bring somebody else in that may be as good or maybe not even as good. The other thing you have to consider is you got to be prudent, okay? You don't want to spend more for somebody than you're getting or than could cost you in the long term. You have to keep in mind the future considerations. So would you think about trading? I mean, to get a really good player, would you think about trading a Kelly Oubre and or some other guys? You got to remember what your goal is for the future and with young players, and that's how you build young. That's how you build good teams. Look at Philadelphia, look at Toronto, look at some of these other teams. So the Wizards have their core of Wall and Beal and Porter, and now Kelly Oubre is fitting into that core as one of the great young players. You have to be careful. You have to be prudent. You're not going to spend more than you're going to get, and I think that's what, you know, they're thinking about at this point. And then the fact that they've all played well together without John lately is going to, you know, factor into Ernie's decision-making here, too, and Tommy Shepard as to whether or not they try to go out and move somebody or get somebody. Would it be great to get an impact player, maybe a low-post player that can help, or maybe another guard that can help, that can shoot and score 20 points a game? Absolutely. But what do you give up to get somebody like that? That's what you have to think about.
Now I'm talking to Steve Buckants. Let's get back to that conversation. You mentioned the talk about the Wizards supposedly being better without John Wall, and of course, Tuesday night served as a little bit of a reality check, and we've got a long way to go until Wall comes back, so there's certainly going to be some rough patches. There's going to be some ups and downs, but what stood out to you most about the chatter that, of course, John Wall and Gortat and Beal, to a certain extent, kind of confirmed after that game against the Sixers that, you know, maybe the tweets that John Wall sent weren't liked? And, of course, John Wall went on NBC Sports Washington, ESPN. What'd you make of that drama that went from speculation to what appears to be fact?
Well, first of all, I just want to make sure we're totally in understanding here. I didn't say they were a better team without John Wall. I said they can be
right.
They can be a good team. They can play better. They can play well without John Wall. I didn't say they're a better team.
Yeah, no, I know you're not in that that crowd of
right.
Twitter folks.
right. So I mean, and everybody needs to understand that. And I mentioned it on the air last night with Kara Lawson. But you know, look, there's stuff that gets said. It's a long season. It's 82 games, and one thing I've learned, Chase, about teams and players and what have you is that when you're winning, everything is great. And even if it's not 100% in locker rooms, which people don't always see or we don't always see, it's still good when you're winning. Winning has a way of curing all ills. However, when things aren't 100% rosy, there can be dissension, and there is. I mean, look at every team. It happens to every team. And again, we're not always privy to all of that. Now, we've seen some things lately between what John has said, what Marchand has said, or what has been inferred by what they've said or what have you. And I don't know enough about it to say what could happen or what's going to happen or what kind of friction that may have caused. So I don't know. I know Marchand pretty well, and I know how he feels. All these guys are competitors. They want to win. And if they don't think things are going their way, sometimes they get a little spiked about it. But I wouldn't put too much into it. It's sort of like when people talked about how Beal and Wall didn't get along. You know, that's kind of, I don't think they really understand these guys. They're all competitors. They want to play well. They want to play together, and they want to win. When you don't win, sometimes those things show up. When you win, you don't see as much of it, and everything seems to be happy and rosy. And I don't think there's any problem between Wall and Beal. So John's the leader of the team, and you know, he speaks out, and he has his own feelings, and other guys have their feelings, and you just hope that they can get along, and there's not so much friction that it's tearing the team apart.
Yeah, I think a lot more of this stuff goes on than becomes public, and this just happened to become public. And my biggest takeaway from yesterday with the interviews John Wall did was just pretty bad timing. You know, John Wall has no filter. He's going to speak honestly. He's going to tell you exactly what he thinks, and I really appreciate that about him. But I think the timing of it was bad, and it certainly made things a lot worse. I think if he had done that in a few days, it wouldn't have been as big of a deal. And I think this will blow over. And like I said, John Wall's going to be out a long time. At some point, fans, players, media are going to be clamoring for him to come back. But the better they play, of course, the less there is a need to rush him back. But,
yeah, no, I agree with everything you said. It will heal a little bit in time, and he'll be out for a while. And again, like you said, he speaks his mind. Marchand Gortat speaks his mind. That's one of the things you appreciate about these guys, which I like about them. But sometimes things are better off said among teammates and maybe not out in public.
Yeah, I agree. But it's all relative. You know, the Wizards right now, they're winning, but of course there's some drama. But if you look around the Eastern Conference, they are not alone. Just ahead of them is the Cleveland Cavaliers in third place. They have a lot more drama. The public fights between teammates there are much, much worse. Where do you see the Wizards standing in the Eastern Conference right now? Because, you know, it seems pretty wide open.
Yeah, it's become apparent that Cleveland is very catchable, because they're just, you know, I won't say they're self-destructing. Any team that has LeBron on it is always going to be there at the end of the year. We've seen that as many finals in a row as he has been on. So I don't worry about them that much. Obviously, the injury to Kevin Love hurts. But they are, you know, they don't play a lot of great defense lately, and somehow they need to try to shore that up before we get rolling towards the playoffs. So I think that they're a very catchable team by a lot of teams, not just the Wizards, even though we're percentage points behind them right now. But, you know, you got other teams that are closing in on Washington, including Milwaukee and Indiana, and, you know, obviously Philadelphia is going to try to make a move, and Detroit's get better now, and Miami is right there in the wings. So the East, after spots 1 and 2, appear to be pretty wide open. Now, right now, Boston and Toronto are commanding those two top spots, and it doesn't look like they're going to be relinquishing anything anytime soon. They're pretty much building a nice pad. But after that, everything's open, including Cleveland, because they just they're not playing well. They don't play defense, and teams are beating them. Orlando beat them badly coming back last night. So it's open, man. It's wide open, and it just depends which team, with about, I don't know how many games we have left, 30 games or something like that, 28 games. It just depends on which team makes a little bit of a run and gets hot and creates a little bit of space. But I don't see that really happening. I think what you're going to have is it's going to be nip and tuck going all the way down to the rest of the season between all these other teams, and there's only a few games separating all of them right now.
I think it's so open that the trade deadline is probably going to have a lot of implications on what happens moving forward, because whoever wins the trade deadline could kind of jolt their team for this playoff race. And if the playoffs started today, I would really like the Wizards' chances because it's so open, because they are in fourth place. But I will say, we've seen how important home court advantage is, and right now the Wizards are in fourth. If they can jump Cleveland and stay in front of Cleveland in third, that's great. But the alternative is, you know, letting the Bucks catch them. The Bucks are only a half game behind, and you don't want to not have home court advantage in that first round, as we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the way I've been looking at it, although Cleveland's sort of changing my opinion a little bit, but the way I looked at it before is, you'd like to. Well, if you can get three, that'd be great. Or if you can get four. But when you had Boston, Toronto, and Cleveland, then you didn't want to finish anywhere past five. Because if you finish past five, that means you got to play one of those three teams in the first round, and you're not going to be at home. Unless you're in four, and then you play five, and that's palatable as well. So four would be a good spot to finish in. You got home court advantage, and you're playing the five team, and that could be any of those squads. But I don't mind playing any of those squads. I don't mind playing, I don't love playing Milwaukee, but I don't mind playing them in the first round. Indiana, whether it's, you know, Detroit or Miami scares me a little bit, but, mm-hmm. but a four or five spot is a pretty good place to be. Five, not so great because you're not at home. But if you can get three, terrific. So, yeah, home court means is a huge difference, I think, for teams like Washington. Not so much for teams like Cleveland. They don't care.
Right.
I say they don't care. They're always going to be at home, you know, to start the playoffs, it looks like. But mm-hmm. they don't care whether they finish first or second. It doesn't matter to them where they finish in the standings, because they're going to come out in the first round and probably win.
Very true. I have to ask you about Caron Butler. He hung him up yesterday, retired yep. after 14 NBA seasons, played for 9 teams. Had his best years in Washington, was an all-star twice, and obviously you called all of his games in D.C. What stands out to you about his career?
Well, I saw him last night, which was great. I saw him and Grant Hill because they were doing the game for TNT, and obviously
he's a sideline reporter now.
Yeah, yeah, and he was great. And he and Grant obviously went to South Lakes here, so, you know, we're all pretty good friends. And it was just nice seeing Caron again. I did see him this summer up here in Washington. And, you know, look, his story, if you don't know anything about it, and I won't go into the whole thing, but as a young man, well, not even a man, as almost a boy, he was in a situation up there in Wisconsin with his family where he got into trouble. He was in with his uncle who unfortunately was doing dealing drugs and things of that nature, and Caron ended up being incarcerated. And with his grandmother's advice and talking to him and helping him every day, he managed to turn his whole situation and, in fact, his whole life around to where he used basketball to be a much better person, and look where it took him. And he is a great person. He's just a terrific guy. He's got a wonderful spirit about him. I loved his competitiveness when he played. Loved doing games with those big three guys. He had some amazing battles with the Celtics. So Caron is just one of my favorite guys and former players. And, you know, he had a fabulous career, a good player, good guy, and wish him nothing but the best. And now he's made the transition into broadcasting, and he's all excited about that. He mentioned Phil Chenier, who he had a conversation with years ago, and Phil knew where Caron was coming from, and he's made a great move, and I think he's going to end up being a really good broadcaster as well.
Had a really good career, arguably one of the best players in Wizards history, maybe even one of the better players in franchise history. He was really, really just a great compliment to Antoine Jameson and Gilbert Arenas. Could score, could give you more than 20 points a game, could hit threes, rebounds, assists, over 2 steals a game a lot of those years. And then, of course, you mentioned the story, which at some point it sounds like it'll be a movie. I understand Mark Wahlberg is trying to either direct or produce a movie based on Caron Butler's life. So a lot to that guy, and certainly had some great years in Washington. And you were right there for it, calling all of those games.
Yeah, I was blessed. Hey, listen, I've been blessed to be a part of a lot of different teams that have had ups and downs, long seasons, good seasons. The 4 years with Gilbert Arenas, he was an amazing player. You know, even before that, with the guys that were here, and to think about going back to Michael Jordan and his years with Doug Collins, and you know, it's been a long 21 years, but a good 21 years, and I've been blessed to be a part of a lot of different things. So I tell people, Chase, I anchored before this at Channel 5 for 14 years, but I think I got the best job in D.C. Because I get to root for a team that I grew up cheering for, and I get to call their games on a very high level, working for a great network. So to me, it doesn't get any better than this, and I feel fortunate and lucky and blessed, and I've worked with some great people, too. Obviously, Phil Chenier is one of my dear friends and fabulous at what he does, and Kara is great, and Chris Miller and all the folks at NBC Sports Washington. So I've been very, very lucky, and I got a great job.
Absolutely, man, and we've enjoyed the calls over the years. And you mentioned being an anchor. My final question, I got to ask you about this Alex Smith trade, man. I know you're a Redskins fan. I know you covered them for a long time. You and I end up seeing some of those Redskins games in the Wizards press room when they play on a Sunday afternoon in October or November or December. What was your reaction to that trade that is still kind of shocking when you think about it? It still hasn't settled in.
Yeah, it hasn't. I'm not trying to figure it out because I think I know what's going on. I'm disappointed because I like Kirk Cousins, and I think that he's a good quarterback. He's obviously younger than Alex Smith, and I think he would have been fine, and I think the team would be good with him. For whatever reason, they weren't able to come to terms, which is, to me, disappointing. Alex Smith is a solid quarterback, and I think he'll do fine here, too. I don't think people should panic. I think we've got other areas that need to be addressed on that team, but before maybe the quarterback situation, although that's the most important. So I think he'll do fine. They need to make sure they got guys around him that can protect him, guys that can open holes for running backs and things of that nature. But I'm just more disappointed than anything because I like Kirk Cousins. I think he's good. I like him. He's a terrific guy. I mean, he knows exactly what to say, and he's good at what he says when he's talking to the press and things of that, and that's important to me. But I don't know where this team is. They got a long way to go, it seems, but maybe he'll be able to help turn it around, and I wish the best to Kirk Cousins.
Absolutely. Certainly when it comes to drama, the Redskins are usually good at providing that.
Yeah.
This situation didn't disappoint, but I will say, as a Skins fan, I feel pretty good about going from Kirk Cousins to Alex Smith. I feel like a lot of fan bases would kill for that. So it could be worse, I guess. And just like the Wizards, you look at the Cavaliers right now, it certainly could be worse in the drama department. But
yeah,
we'll see what happens with this trade deadline. Like I said, it's so wide open in the Eastern Conference. I think it could change a lot, much more than most years. And we, of course, appreciate your insight as always, Steve Buchanz.
Chase, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, and we'll see you soon.